Approaching on a 25 seconds. 20 seconds and counting. On at 15 seconds, guidance is internal. 12, 11, 10, 9, ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, all engine running. Liftoff, we have a liftoff, 32 minutes past the hour. Tower cleared.
And as Apollo 11 does its roll program, this podcast now does its roll program. The tape is rolling. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. My name is Grant Cameron, and you're listening to the Paranormal UFO Consciousness Podcast. Thank you for taking time from your life to be here.
It has nothing to do with me, other than the fact that I do feel like we have to get this information out. We have to let more people know this is a human issue. It's not just like five people around the planet that are just nuts. This is something that's happening all over the world to all different types of people, all walks of life. And I think that people need to know This is contact that's been going on for thousands of years too. This is nothing new. This is something that's been going on. And now we're in an age where we can share our stories. We can share our information so much easier than it's ever been. This is the age where you can put in one word and pop up 500 videos talking about alien abduction or talking about visitation or talking about how we can be better humans and better entities ourselves.
Mm-hmm. No, great point.
Yeah. And Tiffany, I even talk about that when I talk about.
Go ahead. Greg.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to. No,
I just wanted to say, like, when you're talking about this, we're having a battle here.
No, yeah, you win.
No, I just want to make a quick point. I did a book, Contact Modalities. I also did a book called Inspired, the Paranormal World of Creativity, where I talk about where the computer came from. And like literally they all were doing LSD. That's why it was invented in California rather than MIT. And the guy who invented Google, if you watch the video, he gets it in a dream. He says, I wake up and sometimes, you know, you have one of these dreams. Well, I have one of those dreams. I woke up in the middle and I had this idea in my head. I take the internet, take all the links and ditch the rest and went to my advisor at his master's degree and said, I think I could do this in a couple of weeks. And the advisor said, yeah, okay, go ahead and do it. That's where Google comes from. And you see this, the download inspiration that we are getting help. And that's because the internet is like the collective unconscious. That what we're doing is like the Akashic field. We're loading stuff into the field and everybody's got the answer. That's what you see with experiences. 40% say at one point during their experience, they knew the answer to everything in the universe. We are loading the stuff into the field and then you can go in there and quickly get it. Whereas in the old days when I was working, you had a pen and a piece of paper and very expensive long distance phone calls. There was none of this stuff. It moved very, very slowly. So now we're in a situation where it's accelerating. And the consciousness is accelerating as we talk. So I think you have the role. I have the role. Nicole has the role that we're all playing a part in what I absolutely maintain is the most important story that will ever be told. And we got to play in the story. It's like living at the time of Jesus, the signing of the Constitution. People are going to say, oh, those people are so lucky.
You know, back in 2016, Grant, you and I talked about I had a momentary download and you asked me to describe it to you. With all the stories you've heard, I'm sure you don't remember it, but I'll refresh your memory. So in the middle of the night, I awoke and there's two stories that I've discussed with you. The first one, I awoke and there was a red hologram in my bedroom. And of course, I got up out of bed. I thought maybe the light down the hall, maybe somebody was shooting some light through my window. So I was making sure and all the doors were closed. There were no windows open, shutters, blinds, everything were closed. There was no light coming in. It was just a complete hologram. A red hologram, red light coming from nowhere. It was hovering about a foot off of my floor. It was about 4 feet long, 2 feet tall, and a foot wide. And there were hieroglyphics, there were runes, there was Greek letters, there was Russian letters, there were all of these different types of letters and symbols that I had never seen before. And I looked, I walked around it. I did not put my hand through it or anything like that because I didn't want to touch it. But I walked all the way around it trying to figure out when I was trying to decipher what it was. And I'm, you know, at that time I had lived in Greece. So I was familiar with the Greek alphabet and Greek writing, and I couldn't understand any of it. And I thought, my God, if I'm supposed to understand this, I don't, guys. And I said it out loud. I don't understand this. What do you want me to do with it? And excuse me, what I got was, you'll understand in time. So whatever it was, was a very big message that I was supposed to get. So I figured at some point in my life, it will come back to me or it will make sense. The other time that I had an experience, and I've had these experiences over and over, is I get these downloads and I won't be asleep. And I'll be just getting to that comfortable state where you've just crawled into bed and all of a sudden I'm hit with the whammy, okay? The wow signal. Mm-hmm. And it's like the biggest download of any images, violent images, peaceful images, images of war, images of famine, images of you know, harvest and big good things and bad things all sort of mixed and jumbled together. And then there's almost like binary code being dropped in there. And that's not something that I can understand. It's going so fast. I'm talking thousands of images are being just downloaded. And at some point I'm looking and I'm thinking, wow, how can I retain this? My brain can't retain this. And I'm just taking it in and thinking, my God, if I can only record it, if I can only record it. But maybe we are recording it. We just don't have access to retrieve it as well as we should. Or maybe at some point in the future, we're going to be like, now I get it. Now I know what that was all about.
That's interesting. I got, let me chime in real quick.
That's what Jim sent me back. So they talk in symbols or, right.
Yeah, no, you know, we talked on earlier mentioning, you know, I do believe that we're part of this simulation. That's my take. And I'm an enthusiast. I'm not an experiencer. I live vicariously through Tiffany. You know, we're doing our journey here on the show. But, you know, I sit in, you know, I joked about the Ambien, but I do lay in bed before I fall asleep. I start thinking about shit. And, you know, one of the things I thought about recently is, as an enthusiast, it would have sucked being a UFO enthusiast like 50 years ago at my age because of where we are right now. I do, Grant, I'm piggybacking what you say. I do think there's a rhyme and reason why we're all here right now, why we're talking. Something's getting ready to happen. A game changer. And the three biggest questions I always throw on this show is there a God? I don't know. What happens after we die? I don't know. Are we alone in the universe? I've said it in my heart of hearts. We're going to get that freaking answer.
I think we've already gotten the answer, well, Kevin.
I mean, yeah, I think we have, but the reality is that not until, you know,
you want to have the government say there are extraterrestrials, interdimensionals,
not that I need Big Brother's seal of approval, but, you know, for the casual people, for the people who, you know, still tune in to Independence Day every July weekend or whatever, you know, they want to know the truth. They want to know, the answer. That's where we are.
I can give you a comment on that.
Please do.
We dealt with Dr. Eric Walker, who was former president of Penn State University, had 4 doctorate degrees. He was the chairman of the board of the Institute for Defense Analysis, top military think tank. And we were trying to get him to talk, to tell us what was going on. And he said to us at one point, he said, okay, I'll ask you a question. You're just curious, aren't you? Confirm it. That's all you want. You're just curious as to what's going on. That's all you want to know. Why should we change the rules to satisfy your curiosity? And this was this idea that, like Tiffany was bringing up, that we want the government to sort of tell us. To me, I look at it different. If you have the experience, there's if you can get it from Big Brother and they tell you that it's real or whatever, people will. But I had a sighting where it flew right in front of the car. So I've never, I mean, especially when I tried to publish a book in 1976 and nobody wanted to publish the book, then I said, okay, this is a total waste of time. This sighting stuff's a total waste of time. I need to know what, who knows what's going on. And so when I see this thing, oh, we need to prove UFOs exist, I go, no, no, not again. I've done grade one 47. This is 47th time I got to do grade one. No, let's not do UFOs anymore. UFOs are real. Get it. Like, come on, let's move on to do it. That you see in this latest release, do not talk about aliens. Do not talk about, that's what he said. Do not. You only talk about threat, talk about sightings, talk about this kind of stuff. Don't go there, because, and I guarantee you, if there's congressional hearings, you will not hear experiencers standing up there who are going to say, oh, I was on board a ship and they actually showed me this screen, like 39% of the other people, and they showed us that we're destroying the world and we got to stop the nuclear weapons. They're not going to do that. They're going to play this game where they're shaking down Congress for a bunch of money, and we need to say this is a threat. We got to, you know, after we take on China, then we're going to take on these guys, and it's just like the next big war that we're going to do. And so to me, the idea, I can empathize with people who haven't had sightings, but I don't think you can really prove to anybody that the sighting is there. There's a difference. That's the other thing explained to me in 2017, the difference between describing and knowing. So people will say, I know you're experiencers, I know you just believe. And it's like, oh, no, the only people that know are the people who have had the experience. You're the one that believes. You can, because people will say to you, oh, I don't believe your story. And I say that really slow. And they go, I don't believe your story. And I say, emphasis on the word believe. Put on a suit and go to church. Who cares what you believe? You're the believer. It's got nothing to do with that. And it's got to do with having the experience. And so that's where I think we have this advantage, that we've had the experience. We know this is for real. And so it's up to us. Now, the people on the street, they still want to know. I can empathize with that. But you and I have to get to the point. Okay, we know this is real. Now, why are they here? What's going on? Why are you getting these downloads? Why all this kind of stuff? And just one point on downloads, and I'll let Nicole jump in. The download thing, I think we sort of understand that fairly well now. This kind of trauma thing, that when you go to sleep at night or when you wake up, so you're going from alpha down through theta into delta. So delta is sleep, and you go through theta. All of regression, all of hypnosis, all that is theta. All paranormal phenomena happen theta. If you take a look at Ingo Swann, they actually tested him at Laurentian University. When he was hitting targets, he was in theta. He was at the Schumann's resonance, 7.83. And so we know that when you go from alpha, you go through theta. This is where you have the paranormal experiences. You fall asleep. When you wake up, you're going from delta in through theta. You have the awakening things. And then you go back into alpha, where the brain comes back online and shuts the filter. The filter is open during theta. So you even have, I show in my lectures, I show a statue with Thomas Edison. And Thomas Edison is the statue. He's got a steel ball in his hand. Here's the story of the steel ball. Edison always said he never slept at night. He would only sleep 2 or 3 hours. Well, of course, he was dead tired. So he'd sit in the lab and he would sit in a chair and put his hands on the side of the chair with the steel ball. And he had a steel plate at the bottom on the floor. And he would sit there and he would sort of meditate. And of course, he'd fall asleep and his hand would relax. The ball would fall out of his hand, hit the steel plate, wake him up, and he would immediately write down what was in his head. It's exactly the idea. When you're in that theta state, when you're coming out of sleep, the thing is to sit there and get ready to record it, because as soon as you move a finger, even Russell Targ says, if you want to remember it, don't move a finger, because as soon as you move a finger, the left brain says, oh, Tiffany's waking up. Let's go. It's not the filter. And you know, the dream is closing and you're trying to remember it, and it's disappearing. It's going back into the field. So you have to stay very quiet, or even Deepak Chopra. Deepak Chopra has written 90 books. You know how he wrote 90 books? I couldn't believe when he said it. He said he meditates first thing in the morning. And he said, but before he meditates, he wakes up and he stares at the ceiling for half an hour. He does not move. He stares at the ceiling. Whatever comes in his head is what he writes down. All 90 books came from sitting there when he wakes up for 30 minutes and looks at the ceiling and writing down what comes in his head. He's written over 90 books. Wow. And that's this thing. You're in a theta state. You're in a relaxed state where you shut the left brain down, the ego. You quieten down the negative ego that wants to be in control and this sort of stuff. And when you get that, you can pop into the field and pop out. Or you go through trauma. So trauma, like with like ayahuasca, people will say, oh my God, my ego was crushed. And I suddenly realized everything was alive, alive, connected and conscious. And that's, you're in that field where you suddenly realize how it works. And then you come out of the field, you go back into the normal waking state where the default mode network comes on. But when you're asleep, you go through theta and that default mode network shutting down and you're able to go in the field. Or when you wake up, it's the same thing, you're going the other way.
You know, Kevin has wanted to discuss the process of maybe having a meeting.
What are we doing here?
talking about how we've talked about in the past. You said, you know, you haven't tried any hallucinogenics to try DMT. To get to that level.
I want to go there. Yeah.
But what part of those drugs actually get you to that state where you can have one of these experiences?
Before you answer that, I've got to say this, and I say this with all due respect, Grant. The next time, Tiffany, help me out. Play along with me here. The next time I do a date night, I'm going to open up red wine, and I'm going to quote Grant all night. My game, my day game is gone to a different level.
It works for me in conversation. I'm not gonna lie.
Man Grant, I'm gonna quote him all night. A pillow talk game with Grant.
Yeah, that's what but you want.
Yeah, I do. I mean, he's my man. But you know, to piggyback on the DMT, I do. I'm not a drug kind of guy. I'll do the hippie lettuce kind of, you know, TMC. THC, sorry, TMZ. You know,
TMZ. But, I think TMZ, that's,
you know, yeah, that's a whole yeah. But yeah, I do want to go that in that psychedelic realm where it's controlled. Maybe even at your place, Tiffany, where people are watching me. I'm not here at my apartment.
That's
on the
not
going to
happen
floor.
At my house, honey. Okay. Sorry.
Well, I'm not. I don't want to do it here because I don't want to think I'm Superman and jump out my
window
off the window. But yeah, it's going to be in a controlled environment, but I want to go there. You know, I've heard the stories. Rogan is kind of my guy, and I've, you know, he's huge into it. Help me out here, Grant. What would be that? What
is, well, there a benefit?
You
got to
realize, yeah. I think what, well, oh yeah, what I would point out to people is, you think there's a revolution going on in the UFO world. You take a look at the psychedelic world. There are 60 labs in the world. There is one company just was valued at $2 billion. Everybody's on the bandwagon. Everybody knows that you, like with LSD, 59% of people who do a hit of LSD will never take a drink in their life. Alcoholics. We've known this since the 1950s, that non-treatable depression at Johns Hopkins University. If you want to look at the real research, look at Johns Hopkins. But there's 60 labs and companies around the world that are working on this healing part. So non-treatable depression, after 6 months, 80% success ratio, non-treatable depression, one high dose, where at Johns Hopkins, they put them under and they have the people there and it's all controlled. You're in a hospital and all this kind of stuff. Smoking cessation, 80% success ratio after a couple of 80%. The patch is like 17% or something. So they have this amazing, amazing ability to control these things. And so what they do is they're using it for that. But then you have these mystical experiences pop out in this whole thing. And that's what they're looking at. So they did a study at London College. It was funded. And what they thought was, it was the brain chemistry. So you do it and the brain was just going crazy and it'd be lighting up and all the people seeing stuff. And they found out exactly the opposite. The brain actually shuts down. the default mode network, which is the ego part, the left brain, shuts down, and that's what it is. It's just shutting. The same thing as hypnosis, same thing as meditation. It shuts the left brain down. It shuts the ego, and that's where you see the whole thing where they said Roger Lear, who did the regression, the implant stuff. Roger Lear wrote a book with Sims, and they said the alien implant thing. They had 250 people with alien implants. They were all on the left side of the body. So why would they put them on the left side of the body? Because the left side of the body is run by the right brain.
Right brain is
the female brain that is in contact with the universe. It's the left brain. That's why I always tell Nicole and Desta and Sinead, you girls got to take over the world before we blow the damn place up. You need female energy. You need the female that believes in the one, believes in the family, rather than the male that wants the urinating contest. And it's a battle and it's a football game and I'm going to kill you and all this kind of stuff. And that's why, whatever the intelligence is doing with the implants, they are not interested in your left brain. They are interested in your right brain because all the implants are on the left side of the body, which is the right brain. Same as musicians. I always point out, nobody has a concept of how many musicians cannot read and write music. The Stones, the Beatles, Elvis Presley, Barbara Streisand, all of them.
Yeah.
And they could not because most musicians are right-brained. Left-brain music is you take your kid to music like they did try to do to me and practice, read the music. You're reading it. It's all left-brain. And you're just memorizing it. A right brain, whether it's jazz or blues or music like Yoko said, she asked about the Beatles. How did the Beatles get so great? She said, it was kind of like channeling. That's how it was. They were no different, but it was kind of like channeling. They were picking this stuff up. And that's the whole thing because they're very right brain, so they tap in. Or if you see the guy from Coldplay, Chris Martin, he talks about, I can't read music. I mean, I have no, and Paul McCartney said, I've never done a scale, nor do I ever intend to do a scale. I'm not going to ruin what's going good for me. So Chris Martin talks about, he just sits there and he waits for something to pop in his head. And he's got these things that have got 1.5 billion hits on the internet and just sits there and waits for something to pop in his head. That's how the right brain works. It taps into the field. It shuts down the ego, the left brain. It's not interested. Whereas everybody's trying to figure it out. They're trying to analyze it. They're trying to make their kid and a kid can become very good at music in terms, but they've got to read the music. They've got a music theory. If you take the great musicians, they've never done music theory. They could care less. They just sit there and wait for a song to come in their head. And you start seeing Carole King, the biggest song of all time. She's the first woman to sell 25 million albums. She said that you got a friend. She's sitting there. She said, I was sitting at a piano and I'm just playing around on the piano. And all of a sudden it started coming in her head and she goes, hope I remember this. It's playing. She goes, I hope I remember this. And she played it and it was 25 million albums she sold on this thing. She said it just came in her head. And you hear this over and over again, my musicians, where the song Yesterday, the most produced song of the 20th century, Paul McCartney says, I woke up in the middle of the night and the song was in my head. And there's a piano in the room and I quickly got the chords and wrote it down. And then he said, I went for a month and I went to people. I said, have you ever heard this song before? Thought for sure someone had played the song. He had heard it from somewhere and they said, no, I never heard that song before. It was the most produced song of the 20th century. I'm in a dream. I've got hundreds of songs. Came in dreams or came in under 5 minutes. That's when you shut down the left brain. That's what psychedelics does. It basically shuts down the default mode network, and that's proved in labs where they can see that part of the brain shuts down and the parietal lobes light up. The blood starts flowing into different things. The parts of the brain that have never talked start to talk again, and they see this over and over again. So it's the ability to get in the field, and what you're doing is you're just basically changing the station, changing the thing, and that's with experiences. So experiences, it's basically the same thing. Where they're able to go into the field just by changing the way their brain is working. And your brain is a receiver. It's not really happening in your brain. Your mind is outside your brain, but experiences are different in that way. Same as people do light language. I was actually going to get them tested in a lab because they've actually done this testing in labs with mediums, people praying and stuff. And they have a certain pattern. So when you're a medium, they actually have a certain pattern that they produce a brain pattern. So they're going into that state. Wanted to do the light language people who are talking this alien language. So I went to Jefferson University to the guy who was doing it. I said, can you put these people in the MRI machine for me and see what kind of pattern, whether they're all producing the same brain pattern? They're all claiming they're talking to aliens, that the alien's talking through them. And the guy said, oh, I'd love to do it. He said $50,000 and expenses.
Sign
for,
me up.
Travel expenses for 10 people. And
sign
I said,
me
there
up.
You go.
Yeah.
This is where I also like to bring up. This is where I like to talk about Dr. Persinger's work and Todd Murphy's work with the God helmet or the Shakti helmet, where you wear the helmet and it stimulates your brain and you go through sessions. And then the whole goal is to get that right side of your brain to take over and activate. And that's when you have, they call it the God helmet, because you have that wow experience. It's not always God, but it's always profound. And the very, at the very mildest, it's like you get that feeling that somebody's in the room with you. Like, oh, somebody's here. Like that sort of recognition. But I look at that as a way, it's kind of good research to see that right brain, left brain interplay. And you can accomplish that kind of brain stimulation without drugs. So if you said you weren't a druggy person, like there are extreme breathing meditations that you can do to work yourself into that kind of state. The Shia ladies like to dance. That's how they get into their praying field. You know, it's things like that.
Dancing and drumming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But you know, yeah. And there is things, different things you can try other than illegal drugs. I know there's legal things in Canada that we can't do here in the States. So I'm like, shucks, I guess I'll just have to meditate super hard, you know, like, but it's interesting.
Yeah, I called you one day, Grant, and said, okay, so I just woke up with this song in my head and you were like, write it down. I'm like, yeah. I don't know how to write music. He goes, I've got an artist. I've got a musician that can work with you. And I was like, it's not going to happen. I can't get it out of this noggin.
Wake up and call Grant. I mean, throw that in my face.
Well, yeah. Well, what you do is what Jackie Gleason, if you remember the comedian Jackie Gleason, he had an orchestra. He had his own orchestra and he put out 20 albums from his orchestra. He couldn't read or write music either. But when he'd get a song, he had a guy that composed the music and he would just go da 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 and he would sing the song to the guy. Most musicians do the same thing where they just sing it and they've got a guy who writes the music for them. And so you can do that. But that's the thing is you're in the field at that point. And there's different ways. I mean, you can do it with, and a lot of it's got to do with trauma. It's the ability to shut the noise down. The signal is there for everybody. But your left brain, your rational analytical brain that we think is inventing stuff, which isn't inventing anything. It's just basically getting in the way. That when you shut that down, you quiet the noise. You turn off the noise and pick up the signal. Everybody's got the signal. And that's why it happens in head injuries where people have the head injury, or even in Nicole was mentioning Laurentian University, they also did it in Australia in the lab there where they magnetically stimulate the left side of the brain and they do the whole savant thing. So most savants have left brain damage. They can't speak properly and stuff like that. And yet they can tell you 93,333 on July the 11th, what day of the week is it? And they'll tell you like in 2 seconds what it is and they'll never be wrong. So they're pulling this stuff out of a field. They're not calculating because the guy can't add 2 plus 3. He has no idea how to add that. And you have all these different modalities, you know, being in darkness. The one guy I had with the float tank where he says, he was doing the float tank. His father had died. He was very traumatized and he started using a float tank. And he said, the message would start coming in his head, driving down the LA freeway. And he said, can you at least wait till I get to the float tank before you start talking to me? And this was the thing, you have these things. Some of them are easier. Like Kevin, you're saying you wanted to know if there was God. And that's the whole thing. If you do the 5-methoxy-DMT under controlled conditions, you will absolutely know if there's a God. There will be, it's the old idea of experience. This is not theoretical anymore. This is like, you're going to be flipped whether you like it or not into this field. So there are these very sort of traumatic things. You don't want a head injury. You don't want to go through a front shield, windshield to learn that you're out of your body or out of body experience. Some of them people want to do, but it's very difficult to do out of body experience. I tried it, the lucid dreaming. I tried all this kind of stuff. And when we did contact modalities, we had 70 different modalities. So you may have one that you can do, work on it. But I would say, for, especially for Tiffany, you need to write it down. You need to write all this stuff down because that's when it starts to make sense. It starts when you, it's like if you're, the best way to teach is to teach someone else. That once you have to put it in order, put it down, then you go, oh, I see, you start seeing patterns. Whereas if it's just bouncing around in your head and it's going all over the place, that's what I find is lots of times I'll do a lot of PowerPoint presentations that I never present. I just sort of put these things down and then I start seeing patterns and I see the ideas start flowing into my head and I put them down. So there are different modalities, but in terms of the God thing, you know, these we have a lot of research going on. I think this will change the world because this has this mystical experience, oneness with all creation. The fact that, you know, everything's connected, consciousness, all this, the things that you hear described in mystical experiences are there. And the real skeptical scientists who are working with this can't deny this. These people are talking about this thing that they're talking to dead people or they're talking to God or talking to some higher thing. And they've started to record this. I think that's going to change the world when this really becomes very popular and people realize there's this aspect that you cannot deny. Or they even do it. John Hopkins, which is like, they've actually got a psychedelic center there now, where they've been doing it for 20 years, talk about the fact where they do a study of people who've been through this high dose thing for whatever they're doing, end of life anxiety, where people are suddenly happy to die, they're all this other stuff, or smoking or cocaine addiction or whatever they're using it for. And they find out that of the people who go in, when they come out, 73% of people who are an atheist are suddenly no longer atheists when they come out. And that's the kind of stuff that you're going to see changing. The same as the UFO. It's the theory of wow, where people go, these people are telling stories and you hear these stories over and over again. And then you start to look at it and you study it a little bit. And we start to realize all these people can't be lying. They're not. And same as the UFO people, that we are carrying a message that we may not understand what the message is yet. But eventually, the more of us talk, the more people understand that these things are happening and it becomes a common. And then you have a situation where it happens in 2017 when New York Times comes forward and everybody thinks that, you know, the Christians are all going to go crazy and they're going to lose their religion. People are going to jump off buildings. The stock market's going to melt down. And what happened when the New York Times said UFOs are being studied by the government? Everyone went, yeah, I knew that already. Okay, let's go on to the next thing. I knew that already. And it didn't shock anybody because people have been acclimatizing. That's what we're doing is we're acclimatizing. We are, because we live in the West, we want everything yesterday. We got to realize it's about the journey and not about the destination. And that our job is to move the ball down the field. We don't necessarily need the answer, because when the answer comes, I said to people, in fact, they told me in one of my experiences, they told me, they said, so what are you going to do when disclosure comes? Y'all going back to church? That's what they said. It's like, so, and it's true. What do you do if you get disclosure? Say the government says, okay, it's for real. Okay. So now what do you do? Okay. It's for real. Okay. You still got to go back to work tomorrow. You still got to, it doesn't point. Really solve any problem. It's you having the experience yourself that changes everything.
Now you were talking, for the record, not an atheist, agnostic. I do believe in a higher power, not an old man in the sky who is this loving being, because there's too much shit going on in this world that will prove that there's no such thing. And I digress for people out there, and I'm sorry to offend, but that's the truth. But Grant and Nicole, tell us, I mean, you know, Tiffany touched on this earlier. We did a show with Grant in 2016 when Tiffany and I first met and started doing these podcasts. And it was a Friday night and Grant hung with us and we were like partying it up, Tiffany, on a Friday night. But, you know, when we had to end that run of podcasts, I've told this story. I kind of was one foot in, one foot out with the whole ufology thing, because at that point, as much as I love you, Grant, there's all these stories that were just being regurgitated. And then the Times article came out, the videos came out, and my juices started out, my whistle was wet and my juices were flowing and I was back in the game. And you know, then the report came out on June 26th, and to no surprise for press and company and people in the chat, listen, you know, we weren't dazzled. I mean, we knew basically that what they were going to hand us, you know, a 9-page report that technically was about 4 pages worth of info, you know, but what we already knew. Grant, with your inside knowledge, I'm curious. What does the classified report say?
I would say it's more of the same. It's just more cases and. Am I supposed to be on with Jimmy now? Is Jimmy Church starting now?
Not yet. I was going to say, that's a good question. Okay. No, it's 9:35 Eastern. You still got it.
Nicole, you know, because I'm getting.
He's promoting Jimmy Church on our show. No, Jimmy,
it's the oneness. Jimmy We're Church all on the oneness. Show.
We're all with you. There you go, Nicole. It's the oneness. Really, man, Nicole? You got time. You bring up a good point. Grant, it is. 9:36 Eastern. What is your hard stop, real quick? I want to be respectful because I know you got another show.
Five minutes ago. No.
When what's up? Do I go on Jimmy Church now?
You're on Jimmy in 24 minutes.
No, but he's not really starting at 10. I think he comes on a little later than that, doesn't he, Nicole?
It's another hour. Let's keep going. It's another hour. Jimmy can wait. You can hold
live Jimmy. Streaming for you, fans.
He just wants to talk about disclosure, and I'm more into how the world works rather than disclosure. But anyway, so what was your question? You had a question, which I now I forgot
because that's Jimmy Church. What's a classified report? Yeah,
classified. Is there anything?
Well, it's going to be more of the same. What I would point out to people that they're missing is when you hear this Yossi Ronan, the experiencer from Israel, contacted me as soon as he said it. He said, "You hear what Lou Alessandro said?" And I said, "Heard what he said." And we actually had a podcast and we played this thing where Lou Alessandro, they said, "Is it on world or off world?" And he goes, "Well, hang on. There's other options," and he starts down this rabbit hole about, well, we don't understand quantum physics and stuff like that. And you can see that's where they're going. That's why I maintain they're not going to say it's ET. And I don't care what Steve Bassett says or anybody, they want to make a declaration of ET. I think they're sitting in the background and they're saying, this may not be ET. We're not sure this is ET, because unless it's got a passport that says Zeta Reticuli on the passport, I mean, how are you going to know? You got a body. Yeah, they got bodies and they got crafts, but how do you know where they're from? And that's where I say, if you go to Peniston's book on page 611, 12, 13, and he's a good friend of Nicole's, you see Kit Green going there, and Peniston says to him, he wants his DNA and he wants to do the MRI because he's looking at experiencers. Why do experiencers tap into the field? This is the whole idea. What's different in their brain? How are they able to interact with the beings? There's something different in you inside your head. And whether you brought it in with your life and planned it, or the aliens put it in there or whatever. And so then Peniston says to him, he says, well, I'm not like Burroughs, you know, I'm not going to roll over like Burroughs. Like you're going to tell me before I do anything, you're going to tell me like, what are you up to here? Like, what are you doing? And he says, well, it's kind of like propulsion. And Peniston says, what do you mean propulsion? You think I'm stupid? Like, it's not propulsion. He said, well, maybe we're kind of using the wrong word. We're trying to find out how does the phenomena pop in and pop out just as quickly. We're trying to find out how they move interdimensionally. So then you see Kit Green. Kit Green was the guy that ran the remote viewing program for the CIA. Kit Green's a high-level guy. And then he says, are you working for the government? He said, yeah. There's eight guys. It's financed by the Defense Department, and Bigelow's got the contract. And nobody's picked up on this. And this is this whole thing. It may not be as ET as people think. It's this complexity thing. And so what they said is UFOs are real, and we don't know what they are. When I mentioned you before the show, I said I was given an eyes-only study and a manuscript that was being written by the guy who ran an eyes-only study for President Johnson. He had the same people on the committee as TTSA. TTSA had Robert Weiss from Lockheed Skunk Works. This one had Kelly Johnson, head of Lockheed Skunk Works. This one had Kit Green, Semivan. Then they had Art Lundahl, who was ran the weird desk at the CIA on UFOs. And you see these parallels between these two. And basically, what was the conclusion of the Johnson study? Johnson was being forced to do a study by James McDonald, who was at University of Arizona, and he was friends. And then he said to the guy that was running the study, he said, get that bastard off my neck. Tell them you're working on a study and we'll do what we can. So they run this study for 9 months with these high-level guys. They have a 4-star general. Like Tom DeLonge only had a two-star general. Or they had a fourth three-star general. Tom DeLonge only had a two-star general from Wright Patterson. So they had all these guys. And what they concluded was exactly what you're hearing in terms of the release. Yes, UFOs are real. It's real objects. It's real material. It's real. We have no clue what's going on beyond that. We don't know where they're from, what's going on. And that's the whole idea. It's the idea that you can drop a cell phone to Leonardo da Vinci and he ain't going to figure it out. The whole idea where if you see the Wilson leak, if you've ever done a show on the Wilson leak, at the end of the Wilson leak, what do they leak? We've got a craft we think we can fly, which means they got a craft that they can't fly because you need a consciousness interface. You need a consciousness to turn the craft on. Everybody, I've got 50 people who will say, I flew the craft. And I go, you flew the craft? How would they let you fly the craft? How do you fly a craft? And they all say the same thing. After live, you fly it with your mind. You put your hand on a panel. You become one with the craft. And whatever you use, what the craft does. That's why they may have a craft, but they can't turn the thing on because you need a consciousness interface. So I would say the conclusion they've got is this is all for real. That's what Obama said. That's what Trump said. He was shown the film and they didn't know what it was. I believe that's the truth. They're not going to go to ET because they are not 100% sure it's ET. They know it's popping in, it's popping out. It's much more complex, 1,000 times more complex than people think it is.
What's the percentage of experiencers that would be able to fly a craft or be able to interface?
14%. And the 3,000 surveyed was 14%.
It was 14% claim that they have already done it.
They've already done it. So I said to Ray Hernandez, I said, we should send out another questionnaire to the people who've flown the craft. And he said, well, people always claim all sorts of stuff inside, you know. And I said, well, yeah, if they describe, you know, curved walls and whatever and lights and, you know, no light coming from, you can't figure where the light's coming from, all this stuff. But when they start talking about flying the craft, don't you think we should talk to it, especially when it's got to do with consciousness? I thought these 14% of people should be investigated because of the ones I talked to. I have never had anybody. I've had 50 people now who've flown the craft. I have never had anybody. It's like the reading off a cue card. You walk in the craft and you hear this technology. They walk in. I asked Chris Bledsoe, tell me how you flew the craft. He said, the craft is there. The door's open. I walk in the craft and it's huge on the inside. Like Terry Lovelace said, it was the football stadium inside and it was just a little tiny craft. And that kind of stuff, I say, there's no way we've got this technology. And they go in and there's beings behind them and they stand in there and then they hear this voice behind them. They don't know if it's aliens or humans. And it says, go ahead and do it. This F-16 retired US Air Force colonel from Los Angeles told me, he said, I was standing there and they said, go ahead and do it. He said, I don't know what to do. He said, you know what to do, just do it. And so there's this panel there and he put his hand on the panel. He put his hands on the panel. He said, suddenly I'm flying the craft. He said, I couldn't believe it. I'm flying the craft. And he said, it was like suction cups on an F-16, whatever that means. And he said, I'm flying the thing. And then he says, this is so weird. And he took one hand off the panel and he's waiting for the UFO to stall. And then it didn't stall. And then he took his other hand off the panel, but he kept it this far off the top of the panel so he could put it back down if it stalled. And he said, then he had his hands off the panel and he's not doing anything. And whatever he's thinking is what the craft does. Or Ron Johnson's, when he was flying the craft, they said, where would you like to go? He said, I'd like to see the Milky Way from a distance. They said, okay, hang on. The G-force is going to be very intense for a second. He said he was in his chair. He said it was the most intense feeling for 1 second. He said, 1 second later, the front opened up, the glass was there, and there was the Milky Way in the distance. 1 second. And he said it was the same thing. Whatever he thought was what it would do. He wanted to see the Milky Way, and it took him there in 1 second.
So it's the power of thought can propel you through space.
It's one conscious.
Well, I always say is that the UFO thing, you've got to understand what they told me in 2017. Is the world made out of little nuts and bolts that are randomly just running into each other? Or is it made out of consciousness? If consciousness is primary, it's a different world. It's made out of consciousness. It's all consciousness. They know it's all made out of consciousness. We actually think there's actual physical stuff here. We think there's time and space. We got all the wrong blocks. We're assuming all sorts of stuff that's wrong. And once you understand that it's all consciousness and it's all projection, then you can do the same thing. We can do the same thing. We just don't understand that we can do it. We're making all these false assumptions of how the world works. And that's why UFOs is so important, is because it shows these anomalies. And when you figure out the anomalies, you're going to figure out how the universe actually works. It doesn't work the way we think it works.
Tiffany, I want to be...
Jump in, Nicole.
I want to be Nikki's assistant. I want to be Nikki's assistant just so I can hear Grant talk. and talk and talk. I mean, it's so good.
I've been blessed to be part of a few of Grant's panels when it came to the artist panel and an experience panel. And I was amazed at the conversations that were discussed and how intent these people were and how truthful and how much I felt was just people opening their hearts and sharing. And I think that's so wonderful. We need people out there to facilitate this. And you all are doing such a fantastic job. And it's amazing all of the knowledge that are being combined and put out by you guys. And it makes me feel like this big, but I love being little bitty part of it.
But he's coming across, he says it in a very respectful way. He gets it. You know, he's not talking down. I want to, let me switch gears real quick. And I know we're rounding third and heading for home on the show and being respectful that, you do.
Let me make one point about the art thing, because it was important that Tiffany came on with her daughter, and that's this idea, the right brain thing. All experiencers, most experiencers are right. That's why they have the implant on the left side of the body. And that's why we did, Nicole and I did the show on art and experiencers, because we realized that experiencers are right brain creative people. A lot of them are artists. A lot of them are musicians. That's why we did the book. And I looked at how many major musicians are experiencers. And it's this right brain, left brain thing. So because you're very artistic, you're very right brained. And that's maybe why you get picked, or you chose yourself to be in this thing. There are very few left brain people who are experiencers. They're all right brain creative people. They're music, they're art people. And that's why you saw the pattern when you saw all those people, how many experiencers are that's unbelievable ability to do this art, like especially your daughter at this such a young age is doing this art. And then you see it. That's the right brain. That's the creative part. And that's why they've picked your daughter. That's why they're interacting with her, is because they're dealing with right brain people. The left brain people are trying to destroy the world, and they're trying to tap into the right brain people to save the world. It's as simple as that.
That's why I always say, it's not about me. It's about my daughter. There's something going on with the next generation, and maybe even beyond that. But I feel like there's something special about these new experiencers, these new people that are coming into the world. Either there's something more pure about them, or there's something special. And, you know, I'm not saying that just because my daughter is one. I'm saying it because I'm seeing it. You know, I'm noticing that there's a lot of really special people out there. And
that's tied to the generational thing, too, Tiffany. Yeah. Take credit. Yeah, go ahead, Grant.
You see the same thing with Nicole's son. Nicole's son was inventing at 4 years old. I always get him on. He calls me the UFO boss. And I say, hey, Will, get on here. What are you working on? And he'll sit there and describe his inventions, and he's taking stuff apart, and he's got this imagination. He's building water purification plants and stuff like that. And you see this creative thing where you try to inspire the kid, and that's what it comes down to. You have a talent. You came in for a certain reason. Move that talent and not try to get them into a pattern of what we think is important in life. And that's how kids become really good at something, is they become obsessed, the same as I became obsessed with UFOs and can remember all the names. I can't remember any name with anything else, but when it comes to UFO stuff, I remember all the details and all this kind of stuff because I'm obsessed, the same as Nicole's son is obsessed with this inventing stuff. And it's amazing to see a 4-year, now he's 5, but the same as your daughter. I mean, the talent, the kid is like a mile ahead of everybody in terms of this invention and what he's doing. And he's sitting there, he's obsessed with this stuff. It's just amazing to watch.
Well, that's just like my daughter. She'll draw for 16, 18 hours. I have to take everything out of her room in order for her to sleep because she is so focused on her art. And now she's writing. Now she's writing this novel. And it's just amazing. So, but let's pause 1 second. We do have a question in here from Yufia Tori. She says, there are different kinds of ships. Perhaps Grant can comment on the ones called the living ships.
Well, my understanding is they're all alive. That's what I've been told, that it looks like metal, but all crafts are alive. There are living entities, Denise Stoner actually talked about being taken below and seeing the engine that was actually, she could communicate with the engine, and she felt so sorry for the engine that all these ships were talking to other ships throughout the universe. And she felt so sorry. And it said, no, this is my role. Don't feel sorry for me. She was actually talking to the engine. And this is the idea that we have this preconceived notion that it's a metal type thing, when most experiences will tell you, no, the craft is actually alive, that they grow the crafts. And that's so that's my impression. There may be some metal ships, but to me, especially the ones where they're flying it, they'll all say the craft is alive. You put your hand, you become one with the craft when you touch it. And that's why Chris Bledsoe and people will describe when the craft is in the area. When John Alexander, you heard the story, Chris Bledsoe and John Alexander's there. And then Chris says, they're here. They're here. And then John says, how do you know they're here? I just know they're here. Because you have touched the craft, vibrated with the craft. So when they're there, experiences will say, they're coming tonight. I know they're coming tonight, because you can feel the vibration.
You feel
the vibration.
Yeah, I get that feeling. I get this tingling sensation, and I know something is coming tonight.
You know something's not. And that's because you've been one with them. Once you've been in contact with the craft and with them, when they're in the area, you feel the vibration of the craft. And you're more sensitive, because your right brain, you're more sensitive. Whereas the average person, it can be right there. And that's the whole idea is, oh, here's Jimmy Church. Holy cow. We better shut down, or you can finish off.
You said hi.
You know, Grant, thank you so much for granting us some time with you and all of your knowledge that's noodling around in your head. I love that.
Love you, Grant. You're such fantastic. Badass. Yes.
Keep up the great work.
Thank you for your interest.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nikki, stay with us for a second. Grant,
Nicole,
the pleasure is ours.
I'll stick around.
You go do your Jimmy talking and
do it again. Hey.
Please. Thank you so much, Grant.
Bye-bye. Bye, Grant.
Bye. Yeah, that's something, you know, from a Universal Secrets standpoint, Tiffany. We got to use that segue. You know, Grant had to finish our show to go do Jimmy Church's,
mad respect.
Do we manipulate that to our advantage? No,
mad respect.
Jimmy is a badass. I will lay in bed
and watch Jimmy
TV on and because it's audio, I'll listen to Grant. And I mean, I was kind of halfway joking about the wine and Grant quotes on date night, and I'm air quoting, you know, using their quotes, people can hear it. Nicole, I mean, you know, I've recently got to.
I got one more question. Hold on one second. It's not a question, it's a statement.
Oh, statement.
Right. Murphy says, by the way, one does not need to be physically on board to interact with the living ships.
That would be you, Tiffany, right?
I am still learning. That's all I can say.
Well, I think that's where, like, you see some people in videos and where they're actually talking to ships, you know, or they're like, light up for me. And then they get those big light shows.
And Christopher Bledsoe does that a lot.
They express gratitude, you know, like, thank you for being here, that sort of thing. And like, I call them the blinkies, and then they pulse. It's like, you're welcome.
What's funny is a few weeks ago, my youngest, Lily, and I came up. Hello. Hi.
Hey, man.
What's going on there, buddy?
If you're going to get into the camera, at least say something. Hey, what's your name?
I'm William.
William. Hello, William.
William.
You have a fantastic mother, by the way.
Say hey. You got people watching. Wave at people. Say hey.
So my daughter was wanting to see some UFOs. And so she and I went outside, and we had our little pen light and little laser. And we decided to go lay on the ground and watch the stars and see if we can call somebody in. So all of a sudden, these five lights came in, started moving. And they were not moving like in a pattern that would be, it was not a flight. It was not an airplane. It was not a satellite. These were moving in a different way. And I said, talk to them. And she said, hello, we're here. We see you. And they started flashing. And then she goes, did you see that? And I said, yes, I did. And that was sort of amazing. It was about 5 minutes long. Mm-hmm. And that was her first UFO sightings. And it was all sort of just impromptu. Let's go outside and see the lights and see if we can find anything in the sky. And we had our night vision goggles on, and we can mm-hmm. see them clearly. So wow. it was amazing. But I would definitely recommend anybody go outside, start looking up.
Yeah.
You know, when we all went into lockdown, people had not as much to do. And so I think people started looking up more often. And I think people have started noticing that there's a lot more moving in our skies than just planes and satellites. Mm-hmm. So.
Oh, I know. It's amazing. I can't wait to get out to Sedona and go on a sky watch with Melinda Leslie and her gear. And
yes,
so great. Like I have a nice ebb and tide with my sky watching. It's like I went through all these phases where I'm like, I got to get the camera, I got to get the binoculars, I got to buy a telescope, let's do this. And then I also am one of those experiencers that has like all my equipment will fry out. So it's yes. like I buy stuff over and over again. And like, it just last week, my cell phone just
batteries quit. Go on the
for no reason at all. It just stuff like that. So I quit getting the tech, but I've been getting this night vision bug. Like I got to get some night vision. It's going to be so cool.
It's an investment.
Let me throw this at you both. Cause with you being experiencers and you know, we're it's a game changing moment for us in our lifetime. Mm-hmm. I've asked this with other guests on shows, Tiffany, and I'll throw this at Nikki and Tiffany, you can chime in too. Are you all getting this message from your visitors on what the hell's going on right now and what's getting ready to happen?
I'm just on high alert.
I mean, what are your spider senses saying, Nikki?
My spidey senses are telling me we've been down this road before, honestly. Like a few other researchers that I talk with, they're like, you're just not excited about this report at all. And I'm like, I'm already thinking like 20 steps past the report.
What are those 20 steps?
It's like, you know, the work you're doing now is for the future, or at least that's what I believe. So mm-hmm. We've been fighting this fight for close over 70 years now, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. the women's movement, it took over 100 years for women to get the vote. Mm-hmm. We're about halfway through this movement. And I do think it's a social movement, and, you know, you can equate it to civil rights or the women's movement or things like that. But the government isn't going to give us answers until we, the people, tell them they have to give us answers. And that's a social movement, you know.
That's started.
And I think that we're seeing the groundwork of that now. And like you posed to Grant, like, what does the other 400 pages say? You know, like Danny Sheehan, I think, just said last night that those 400 pages are like the gray box. It's like, this is the stuff we are totally weirded out by. We don't know what it is. It's in the gray box. Mm-hmm. And the 400 pages is describing what they're lost in. And that's why I think this moment is important. We've been here similarly in the past. You know, Gerald Ford called for congressional hearings. The Condon Report, you know, which said nothing to worry about here, nothing to pay attention to, not a threat, leave it alone. And so at least we've moved that needle forward to they're like, there is something to pay attention to here. It could be a threat. Let's pay attention to it. So it's a baby step to me, you know, and I know that there's going to be a lot of these baby steps along the way. And then another researcher pal of mine, Steve Bassett, you know, he says that's post-disclosure talk, you know, like experiencers will get their moment post-disclosure.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, it's going to be the experiencers that are driving the disclosure, whether it's, you know, the government social movement or enough outside interest finally turning to experiencers. Like, well, we're not getting answers from, you know, the president. So what are you people saying since you're not lunatics now? Right. That's kind of where we're at. Like, the government has given us that much to where we can at least say, okay, take us seriously. We're not all tinfoil hat wearing schizophrenics. You know,
I would love to make my own tin hat. I've tried and I'm not a very good tin hat maker.
I took an old ball cap and just folded foil.
That's
around
a great idea,
so like,
too. I want the one that points up like a dunce cap, though.
Right? But that's like the old, like, you know, channel here. Keep them from reading my brain. Like, I think the updated version of the tinfoil hat is like, it has like a broadcast signal from it to where you're like, I'm right here.
There's a Wi-Fi connection to the tinfoil.
Right. Like,
but you know,
Nicole, get your son to make one of those and I'll buy it.
Oh, there
okay.
You go. Yeah.
There you go.
Nicole, you mentioned like Gerald Ford back in the day. You know, the one thing that Gerald Ford didn't have on his side was the internet. It podcasts?
There is this like perfect storm, you know, that's happening now where going to push it just a little bit further. But I think it's like what Grant says. It's like, it's kind of the shakedown. All of us kind of go, we don't know what it is, really. They just don't want to tell us.
I got to ask you this. I've said this, as an enthusiast, I can say this because I'm not an investigator, researcher. I'm not on the inside as Grant and probably you are. There's, you know, what we've seen in the last few years. From my perspective, there's a lot of egos in the whole ufology field. You know, you've seen Greer going at Elizondo. You've seen, you know, I kind of get it where, this is my take, strictly my take. I'm not speaking for Tiffany. This is me and not so much representing the show, but this is definitely my take, is that, for a lot of people who have been in the ufology field for decades, and then you got guys like Corbell, Elizondo, and even George Knapp, even though he's been in the field for a while, but he's really been front and center lately. Mm-hmm. There's some egos. There's some people to me, I guess I'll
like to comment and say, big egos do big things and get big things done. And that's where I like to leave it.
That's fair. That's fair.
Well, and like a case in point I like to use, and I actually really highly respect Dr. Greer. I'm not a Greer hater. But I think about people talk about his ego, and I've never met him personally, so I can't personally speak for it myself. But I put it in context and I think, okay, if he were in a room with 5-star generals and these types of upper echelon political people, government people, military people, you can't be a meek, mild mannered person and go toe to toe with these guys. It takes a certain kind of ego to run with those kind of egos. So
you gotta be a big dog to run with the big dogs
in this field, because I can tell you what, 99% of experiencers are completely introverted people. And I consider myself an introvert, but I find my extrovertedness with ufology. That's part of my calling or my mission right now. And so it's just very odd, you know, knowing that we have these experiences and we want to turn it inside, but then we're also like faced with that people think we're weirdos, you know, stuff like that. So it does make you very introverted. So for every big ego out there, I would say there's probably 200 introverted non-ego people that they we kind of have to have that balance, you know? 200 introverted people aren't going to make a disclosure movement, you know?
You know what's funny? What I've noticed is that over the past few months, I've had more people in my regular life, just neighbors and friends of my kids' parents and stuff like that, asking me what the heck is going on. They're like, oh my God, so the crazy UFO lady might actually have some info.
Well, and do you know why that's happening, Tiffany? Because mainstream fucking media is, you know, when I don't care where you lean, but, you know, Anderson Cooper, Chris Colm, Tucker Carlson, all these mainstream media people are doing serious interviews. They're doing segments on their shows posing the question with, you know, again, not playing. I've said it. I love the X-Files, but they're not playing the X-Files theme music behind that little segment.
But for every two steps forward we have with that, you know, where media is great, but like we're saying we want it from the government. So we have media paying attention, and that's great because it gets the general populace interested. But then we have the White House rep laughing at the podium as the questions being posed.
That's a good point.
So that's, I mean, there is this balance. It's good. It's we're talking about it, and we have to continue that. Yeah. So
No, it's fair.
But it was entertaining having this birthday party, which I was invited to, and having all of these people talking to me about UFOs who had never wanted to talk about it before. They're like, that's the crazy lady everybody, you know, talks about. She's in the UFOs and aliens. And then all of a sudden they were like, oh my God, that's the alien girl. Oh yeah, we're talking today. So the whole conversation was on UFOs, and I was like, why are you asking me these questions? You people don't have you don't have any interest in this, but obviously people are interested when the government says there's something out there we don't know what it is.
When 60 Minutes, which to me, I don't watch 60 Minutes. It's to my mother, my parents watch 60 Minutes. It's kind of an old, you know, it's a different kind of a generational show. They had a segment on this whole report.
They were multiple segments, weren't?
Yeah. So the point is that it's, yeah. So the people who are asking or referencing now, Tiffany, that's the UFO girl. You know,
that's what they do. That's what they say.
But they see that now on some type of mainstream.
And my kids go to Catholic schools. They're like, oh God, this is going to ruin our Sunday service, having Tiffany Mack come in and everybody be pointing at her going, wait, no, she's the UFO girl. You need to have her.
Why don't you want your kids, when they go back to Catholic school, ask them, well, what does the Vatican have? What's the proof that they have?
It's probably been raided.
The Vatican, they just had their kind of big symposium on extraterrestrial life a few weeks ago. And, I mean, Danny Sheehan is calling for ufologists to reach out and gain allies in other fields, like people for, you know, saving our world and our climate and, you know, getting rid of the nuclear weapons. It's like we have to reach out into these other fringe circles and gain allies. I mean, one of the messages experiencers put forth most is no nukes. So why aren't we aligning ourselves with the nuclear disarmament people? It's like we have to, I think, sometimes reach or go outside of ufology to find ufology too. So, and we all just got to keep doing our part. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting up against my boy time limit.
No, we're that's a great segue to shut this down. Tiffany, great show tonight.
You know, fabulous.
Grant, Nikki, I think at this point I can call you Nikki, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Pleasure was totally ours. The audience hanging with us, the chats. I do have to do something real quick for, you know, because someone mentioned during the show, there was no ads.
I love that.
So, well, here you go. Humorous. For people watching on a laptop, take a picture. Grab your cell phone, take a picture of that. And all of our social media, everything, like us, follow us. We need to keep building our following. Nikki, thanks so much for hanging with us.
Thank you, guys. This was a great first time.
Yeah, and we'll do it again. We definitely have to do it again.
Absolutely. Yeah. This was it's almost overstimulation when Grant comes on, because it's like
the needles to the red when he's on.
See, I don't know. I'm getting, I'm used to Grant now. I'm like, oh, he's on this part. You know, it's like, this is when I usually say this or make this argument. Like,
that's fair.
That's good that you all are working together. I think that you compliment each other combo. Well.
Yeah.
It's been a mind-blowing blast for me. Like, he says we're living in Jesus times, and this is like the Super Bowl to the nth degree. He asked me to help him with the Friedman files, was just like forever locked in my brain. And
that we need to talk about that next.
There's lots of stuff. Yeah.
Yes.
Nikki, we'll be in touch. Thanks so much for tonight. Tiffany, hang tight. We'll let her go and hang with her son. Okay. Say hello to your son. Have a good night.
Have a good evening.
Guys. All right. Bye. Take care. Well, that was a great show tonight.
That was awesome. I swear. I feel like I'm going to have to go over. I'm going to have to listen to it again to see what I missed.
This is one of the ones that we will we will do that. I'll do it. I have to admit, I don't listen to every show that we do. Mainly, honestly, it's I don't like listening to myself talk to be honest, but this is one of the shows where I just sat back and let, you know, Grant do his thing. And, you know, his that information that he has, that energy, his passion too, it was all on display tonight.
Yeah. And I, you know, when we started out the conversation about how I'm having this sort of internal struggle about dealing with it and wondering what is actually going on, I'm glad I have people that I can talk to like Grant and Nicole who can actually make sense of the craziness and I feel better already. So well, it was perfect.
You say therapy. You call him. You get to talk to him about stuff. So that's very cool. Thanks again, our audience. We had a great time with you guys. I'm gonna give some show etiquette before we end this, Tiffany. We did a show over the weekend where we recorded a show on Saturday and broadcasted on YouTube, Facebook on Sunday. There will be periodic times when we will do these one-off recordings, mainly because the topic/guests that we have can't do a show on a Tuesday night for whatever reason. So we'll do recordings and we'll put those out there. We did one this past weekend with Maddie Mac. Great name. Mad Mac with two D's, and Sierra and Ablina, and people go check it out. It's on our YouTube, Facebook. I think it's episode 47, 48, whatever. Hybridization, generational experiences. But we from that show, Tiffany, we decided that, you know, with experiencers, PTSD. This is an opportunity for us to connect with people, let people know experiencer wise that they have a platform, they have an avenue to talk, exhale and, you know, purge some of their information. And
we actually saw some of the questions in the chat program today, and they were talking about the maybe getting some of our listeners involved and telling us some of your stories so that we can share them. And I think that's a great idea. So that's sort of the direction that we might be taking. We'll still have your regular paranormal shows involved, but we will try to do more of the experiencer aspect and get into that realm.
Yeah,
since it's sort of my passion too.
Your passion, not just your reality, and to a degree, your daughter's reality.
Yeah,
Sierra, who joined us.
Yeah,
definitely her reality.
Yeah.
Again, Tuesday nights we'll be live. We'll continue to do live shows, and we thank you, everybody who's always with us on Tuesday nights for hanging out with us. So, Tiffany, just shutting it down. I don't know if it's too early to say, but I'm gonna throw it out there. We've got a very cool event lined up in October.
We do.
We've kind of talked about it / teased it. It's called Contact at the Compound. It'll be Contact at the Compound 2. Mm-hmm. Stay tuned, guys. All I will say is that Tiffany is putting herself, I mean, she is taking this event to a whole different level that I had even thought we could do. And, you know, from me to you, Tiffany, I mean, it's going to be badass.
We're going to be flying in some special people.
Flying in people. People are staying overnight. It's a weekend thing. I mean, we're going to live stream it. And I'm going to go on and say it I'm going to say this in the most respectful way. We thought we were going to partner with someone to do it. I don't think that's the case. So we're going to do it on our own. And we're going to own it, Tiffany. It's going to be our thing. And I'm just so excited because the more you and I talk about it, the more we kind of get the almost kind of the giggles because it's going to be cool.
It's going to be cool. We've got
some great people involved.
Contact at the Compound 2021.
Number two.
Yeah.
All right. Over 2 hour show. Someone mentioned we're in the third hour. Yeah, we technically are at the third hour. So. Tiffany, the pleasure is always mine to hang out with you. You and I have plans to get together this weekend to keep
plan
momentum going for October because it's gonna be here sooner than later. Mm-hmm. The audience, I'm looking at some names: Sherry, Marco, Genghis, Bobby, Ron, Maria, everyone who hung out with us tonight.
Bobby.
Yuffie. I mean, she always we do. There's always a Yuffie question comment that we get to the show.
But I know
she just always has that one question that just kind of fits in.
I know. She pays attention.
Give us your final thoughts, and we'll shut it down.
Final thoughts. Another great night. Can't wait for next week. Another hashtag Tiffany Tuesday. We're going to have to find another hashtag for this because Tiffany Tuesday just sounds like it might be too much of a party.
Well, there's also Tiffany's Playground, right? What was that story about?
Hashtag Tiffany's Playground was, back in 2000, 2001, when there was AOL, you could have an AOL page, an internet page. And so I would post all of my pictures from Greece. You know, there was pictures from work. There was pictures on base, which was illegal. There were pictures, lots of pictures off base. But it was a way for me to share sort of like an Instagram almost. And you could write stories about what you did that day. And it was just a way for me to keep in touch with my family who was 6,000 miles away. I couldn't reach them.
Maria will love this. I got to give a shout out to our man, Alan B. Smith, who is such a good friend to our show. supporter. I actually talk to him routinely. He's just, I love that guy. Mm-hmm. He said he was trying to find our YouTube page. And the way he did it was he did a search for hashtag Tiffany Tuesday, and that's how he found our page. So shout out to Maria. Yeah, I'm giving her a shout out. Love to my fellow Kentuckian, and Maria, we'll talk later because, you know, October will be coming around, and you know, we got to chat about that. Real quick, the next week's show, the 20th, Cheryl Costa mm-hmm. is the guest. Mm-hmm. So staying with the whole
ufology. And I've got her book, and I'm telling you what, if anybody's ever seen this book, it's the pink book, and it's all data. It's just data from all of these UFO experiences and visits and sightings from years and years and years.
So. I'm familiar with her. We mm-hmm. have never had a chance to talk to her, so definitely looking forward to
Yeah, that. She's a cool character.
We've got some really good shows lined up in the future. So, Tiffany, another good one tonight. Again, people like us, follow us on our social media. We're trying to, as we kind of branched away from the other platform to where we are now, build our following. Again, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter.
Our podcast. I don't do Twitter.
I know. I got Kevin takes the wheel when it comes to that. Where our audio is on our podcast platforms, Spreaker, iHeart, Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts, Universal Secrets. Look us up, follow us. Another good one, Tiffany.
Yep.
Signing off. Everyone, have a good night. Next Tuesday. See you next Tuesday.
Amen.
All right. Peace out, guys. And this is where, I should have had the button ready. All right. Good night. 's been Universal Secrets.
That's this week's episode of the Paranormal UFO Consciousness Podcast. I'm your host, Grant Cameron, hoping that you will join me for upcoming episodes. Links to my YouTube interviews, books, and my Facebook sites are in the show notes. If you love the podcast or learn something valuable, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, or give a review on today's episode. If you would like a certain paranormal subject dealt with in the future, please let us know. Until next time, watch this space, and thank you so much for listening.